When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, Matt, fellow adventurers, we are with Mezel, who previously tasked us to clear out a tower. I gave us 8 ATs for that. And now is looking at some of the special weapons that we've got. She's looking at the Waif King Scepter, which we got at the end. Which we got towards the end of Proving Grounds 5. The Goblin Doom, which we got pretty much at the start of our adventure. And the Medallion of Phase 4, which was towards the end of Proving Grounds 4. And is the item that allows you to randomly transform in battle into various cool forms, such as a troll and a dragon and a Tzal. And it's also the one that... It's the item that the bad guy from that series was using for bad stuff. And which the troll hunter was using to be human for a bit. But apparently he doesn't need it anymore. Apparently he mastered being human. He's been human for so long. Been human for so long that it sort of sticks even without the medallion. I guess it's just practice or something. Anyhow, now, I happen to know that these are items you can exchange for something, well, important. It's to do with the Towson Off. And, the Goblin Doom, I don't want to give that away because it gives you a... Gives you a +5 against goblins, which is very important for scale fight. And a medallion of phase form can give you random MR boosts, also important in scale fights. Or in fights where it's just a little bit higher than whatever your MR currently is, but that's not very likely to happen with Sir Croakington having passed 400 melee weighting. And also, it's a really cool item. It's just really cool. Now, another thing you could use in this place was the Ravenfoot Medallion that you got at the end of Wither Pirates. But I think that's probably in my residence and I don't feel like getting it. So anyway, the Waif King Scepter is what I'm going to exchange. Because, well, it's a fairly powerful piece of equipment. It doesn't really do anything special. It's not something inherently interesting or provide any unique things. It's just let's just look at it. The Waif King Scepter. Where is it? Right at the top. It's got the power of black lightning. And it boosts your melee rating by 15. We got better items than that. Even if you don't include the Spruce Smasher. Anyway, gotta show the Waif King Scepter. Mazel tells you the Waif King Scepter is an item that will be of great interest to a man she knows that hails from Talos. I don't rightly know the next time I'll see him, she says. We just make his way out this one occasion, willing to offer you a trade for that piece of Croakington. The one-eyed weapon dealer produces a small black cloth bag and empties its contents into your hand. She then thrusts her arm out to show you the square black gem resting on her palm. The crude likeness of a bat has been etched onto the surface of the gem. You suddenly realise the small black gem could fit perfectly into one of the impressions set into the tip of the Tau Salof, the Staff of Bats. "I obtained this gem a while so," he says. "I did a few small favours for a very influential person there, and was given this as a payment. Wonder, could it be Huron, because he is from Wyrsel. But I don't think he's been there for a while because of the whole, you get killed, the whole him getting killed if he goes there thing. And I think he was blinded there, and that probably puts you off wanting to go back. And Wyrsel's got this whole near civil war thing going on. That's a bit of a mess. Don't want to get involved in that. Lots and lots of heroic knights keeping a tap on things. Keeping a lid on things, but still probably not a place to visit casually. Supposedly, it has great value. But it's certainly magical. I suppose you could figure out its importance and use it with far greater ease than I could. 16 of your tokens, 15,000 of your gold, and that scepter is what will separate me from this little stone. Well, like I said, I've got plenty of adventure tokens, but I don't have enough gold. You politely think over the offer Mirzor has made you. 16 adventure tokens, 15,000 gold, and the Waif King scepter for the small black bat-sized gem. You realise you do not have what she's asking for in trade. Attempt to bargain with Mirzor. We attempt to bargain with her for the small black gem. Seems to initially warm herself. The one-eyed weapon trader frowns at you at first. Steadfastly holds the original offer she made you. After several minutes of crude negotiation with abundant subtle frowns, we know it in for good measure. I mean, if you don't give it to me, you will never know what it does. And won't that just taunt you? Well, then, let me offer you this. If you notice my last word on it. 8 tokens, the scepter, and 10,000 gold. Gold. You can't hope for a better swap than that. You carefully ponder the final offer. 8 adventure tokens, 10,000 gold, and the Waif King scepter for the small black bat-inside gems. You do realise you do not have what she's asking for in trade. Alright, I'm going to have to politely decline the offer. Really wish you'd. Mirzor shrugs her shoulders and puts the black, small black gem again. Really wish you'd, we continue, she says. I can't see what use that old thing is to you. If you change your mind, I'll be here. Yep, so I've got to gather up some gold. I'll just pause while I do that. I'll be going to the Bat Cave, Axpath, Yalto, and maybe some other places. Just going to rush and gather some gold. But that's not particularly exciting, so we'll just do that off mic. And I'm back, having done just a little bit of grinding. I wouldn't have had to do it if I hadn't spent so much money needlessly upgrading my residence to make the number bigger. Because people like making numbers bigger. Alright, spending 8 tokens, the scepter and 10,000 gold. Accept the offer, the scepter is gone forever. But as a matter, I wasn't even using it. It was just taking up space in my grand residence. Mirzor smiles as she accepts your tokens, gold and Waif King scepter. She then hands you the gem and tells you that she hopes you can find a good use for it. I'm sure you can think of something to do with it. The weapon trader's lone eye suddenly widens and he shakes her head in disbelief as you fit the square the square black gem into the impression at the tip of the telescope. Oh, well, it happens automatically. I don't even have to use it or do anything. A low hum fills the air as the starfire brights slightly in your hand, for once again becoming still. 64 XP to General. Please note, Tausoloff now bears one of the two black gems it has for so long been missing. Now, the thing is the Tausoloff in any way related to Tolaf from the Batcave? I mean, it's weird for it to have the same name, but there's really nothing beyond that linking them. But I'm going to assume yes, because that's interesting. Be sure to examine the staff to see how the addition of the gem might have changed it. Had I known about that, I might have traded for that staff, says Mirzel, smirking. It looks as if you've done quite well in this little exchange, though I can't widely complain. This scepter will fetch me a handsome price. You're about to bid farewell to Mirzel and set off on your way, when she asks if she could examine the staff, seeing no harm in her request. You hand the tassel off to her and watch as she carefully studies it in detail. She concludes her expert examination, hands the weapon back to you. I don't know how or where you acquired it, cried that. I truly don't wish to know, she says. Oh, that's good, because I was going to tell you. but since you don't want to know, I'm not going to. But I will take care to see that you hold on to it. Without any doubt, a piece whose value is beyond estimation. Certainly not something that hails from this world. If you would come across a second of those black gems, well, I fear what a weapon it might become. You thank Mirzel for analysis and for the trade, before bidding her farewell and setting off on your way. All right, let's have to the city gates and save. Let's look at this Tausoloff now. Its current stats are 12, but I think they will go up if I equip it, because that will cause it to recalculate everything. I equip it, and its melee weighting has now risen to 19. Still has the power of Swarm of Bats. And it's got the same stats as it, same description as it, mostly the same description as it had when I first got it. A square of black gem has been fitted into one of the shallow sockets at the tip of the staff. This weapon is of magical quality. Now I'm going to keep that equipped for the next while, even though it technically lowers my stats because it's a two-handed weapon, and with just one gem, it's weaker than the weapons I would otherwise use. But that's with my current necromancy. What if... Oh, I'm going to save. How high can I get necromancy now? Well, it's currently at 74. So if I spam all my gem and XP at that, I think I'll then quit without saving for that. Do 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 do. Keep going, I got it to 90. I can get my necromancy to 93 if I throw all the general XP at it, because it takes a lot more XP to level powers to the max than it does to level skills to the max. That's just how it works. Alright, let's have a look. Let's equip the Tausoloff again. Alright, and unequip. Re-equip. Alright, that's raised the melee rating to 23. Still not that impressive, but it's almost caught up with the Shimmering Silver weapons. But you still got the whole two-handed thing. So I think I'm going to need more gems for it to be a contender for best weapon. And with the spruce The Spruce Smasher is pretty much redundant stat-wise. Anyway, quit without saving because I want to keep. I want to keep that general XP just in case. Okay, now who else could know about the Tal Saloth? Visit Blade Square. Okay, admittedly, I'm just getting the. I'm getting this from the wiki. Right, the Green Door, into the Adventure Collective, visit the Guildmaster, converse with the Guildmaster. Okay, I'm just going to show her, well, him, I guess, the Tal Saloth, and paste, and converse. The Guildmaster seems well versed in the lore and history of the magnificent Staff of Bats, and shares with you some of the more interesting aspects of the legendary weapon in your possession. With one gem you're affixed to it is a potent weapon, make no mistake. I mean, it is much, much better than any non-magical weapon could ever be. But I'm overwhelmed with magical weapons, so. And the whole two-handed thing. Now, you might be interested to learn. I believe I know where you can find the other one. The Guildmaster, his face ever concealed behind the shadow cast by his hood, walks over and removes a thick, dusty tome from a shelf against the far wall. He places the weighty book on a table and carefully turns through its time-worn pages. "Here we have it," he says, stabbing his finger into the middle of the musty pages. The gem you speak, one of the two gems that fit into the Tal Saloth, is said to have become the centrepiece of a medallion said to lie in the Cave of Four Spirits. You'll, of course, be delighted to learn I know the precise location of the gem. Well, that's convenient. But admittedly, he's a master adventurer who's done probably almost as many things as Tallies. So, of course, he knows stuff, though. Stuff that regular people don't know. And he has a collection of contacts that is possibly even bigger than King's. The Guildmaster tells you the Cave of Four Spirits can be found to the west of Trithic, in an area known as the Withered Hills. A very desolate sort of place of those hills, he says. I was there once, many years ago, when the affairs of the world outside these walls still warranted my attention. You aren't likely to have an easy time with it, I'm afraid. According to the legend sprawled on this cave, the cave is home to the Westless spirits of some of the previous owners of the staff you are now quite fortunate to possess. Well, I don't know. Well, if we've got Westless spirits, I'm not sure it's actually that fortunate. I think, in fact, it's very unfortunate indeed to possess the staff. I mean, the only reason I don't just give it away is, one, I like to keep things, and two, anyone else would be far less capable of dealing with whatever trouble it causes. The spirits that haunt the cave are said to change from time to time. For I hardly think that lessens the danger at all. Rather grim scenario, I'm afraid. You ask the Guildmaster if he knows whether or not the medallion containing the gem still west of the cave. He surely shakes his head in response. I cannot be certain of that, he says, though I would wager that the cave is indeed guarded by such a formidable quartet of ghosts. It's quite unlikely that any have succeeded in procuring it. You know, unless Tally's had a go at it, of course, but he had no particular reason because he didn't have the staff. Unless he got the staff and gave it away and it somehow ended up back in that necromancer's position at some point in the past. Maybe he realised. Wait a minute. This is one of those evil weapons that makes you evil. You know, not as bad as the Icacor's blade, which directly make you evil. It's more of a subtle long-term plan. The Guildmaster explains to you the cave is tucked away between two sharp outcroppings of stone, the north side of a rocky rise that dominates the broad expanse of wooded slopes known as the Withered Hills. "You should have little difficulty finding you," he says. "I can tell you, though, that the legends say you must be holding the Talus aloft to enter the cave." "Oh, I am. Convenient. Good job I decided to equip it, then." "You thank the Guildmaster and he wishes you luck, should you decide to seek out the cave." "Alright, stop conversing. Return to the common room." "Alright, we've got a cave to explore." Leaving the guild room. "There were some adventurers who have been to Trithic recently, but not many. Travel. Western. And the Withered Hills. Make your way. Explore the hills. Nothing new there. Explore. Make your way to the Cave of Four Spirits. The trek to the cave proves to be no easy task. The towering, rocky rise in the midst of the Withered Hills. And its jagged, treacherous slopes covered with the petrified remains of ancient trees offer no direct path to the sharp outcroppings of stone that mark the entrance of the Cave of Four Spirits. Employing great caution, you begin a long and arduous ascent of the rise. Takes you nearly an hour to reach the mouth of the cave. But the climb passes without incident. More than once you come close to losing your footing on the loose rock that characterised much of the higher parts of the rise. But admittedly it's a bit easier for Sir Croakington because she is small and very good at jumping or being a toad and everything. But each time you are able to catch yourself and prevent a nasty spill down the treacherous slope. At last, winded from the ascent, you stand before the mouth of the cave. Okay, now I'm recovered. You stand before the narrow, jagged mouth of the cave that is known in many legends as the Cave of Four Spirits. From here, between the two sharp outcroppings of rock, just below the summit of the treacherous, rocky rise, you can survey most of the northern area of the Withered Hills. As far as you can see, the rolling hills of stunted trees that characterise this desolate area dominate the landscape. Nothing stirs in the deep gloom beyond the mouth of the cave. Well, nothing we can see anyway. Enter the cave. You cautiously move into the cave, stepping away from the gloom before you with the invasive and comforting brilliance of your reliable light source. You're taking less than 10 steps into the cavernous interior when a soft hiss, followed swiftly by a blood-curdling howl from somewhere in the darks ahead, makes your blood run cold. I could retreat, but no, I will not. There's four spirits that need fighting, and I will fight them. To improve a weapon that I will never use outside of these few fights. Remain where you are. A second ghostly howl erupts out of darkness. You watch in horror as a terrifying apparition emerges from the shadows ahead. The fiendish spirit, its cruel gaze transfixed on you, hovers only inches above the uneven floor of the cave. The glowing apparition floating only a few yards in front of you is truly a horrific sight. Long, matted locks of grime encrusted hair cover the ghostly woman's scarred and sunken face. She raises her arms, which are barely concealed beneath her tattered tunic, revealing bloody stumps where her hands once were. She grins. For a fleeting moment, a bright flash of light illuminates the west of the cavern behind you, revealing a mountain of human skulls. Oh, well, at least they're only human. Nothing for Sir Croakington to worry about then, because she's currently not human. So she's perfectly fine. "What you seek, you cannot have," she hisses, her fiendish grin broadening. "To Talsaloth will never again see both of its eyes restored, while it is sullied in the hands of the unworthy. Before you can even attempt to respond to the spirit, your ghastly apparition surges forward, hissing viciously, her bloodied, handless arms outstretched towards you. I guess this is me proving my worth. Hold your ground and face the enemy. The gruesome spirit rapidly closes on you, seeking to bring a speedy demise to the bold soul that has invaded its desolate lair. It's the ghost of the handless rogue. I'm guessing the handlessness was some sort of punishment for the thievery they did. You know, you steal something, you get your hand chopped off. You steal something again, you get your other hand chopped off. And you steal something a third time and we don't know what to do, but we are sort of impressed that you managed to still steal things, even though you have no hands. You know, when you manage to somehow be a master thief with just your feet. Feet and a team of three crows that you managed to befriend, or something like that. Begin combat. The handless ghost swipes at you with her bloody stumps. Maybe she could learn something from those goblins that we met in that cave near Sarngard Keep, where we had a goblin that had lost both of its hands in presumably goblin-y stuff, and just went, well, I'll just fight with my feet instead. And then we did, but it still died. Keep swiping with its bloody stumps. Gonna put a hook on now or something. I mean, if you can't use your arms for your hand stuff because you don't have hands anymore, you can at least, you know, make them better weapons. Put a hook on or a blade or something. Or maybe that's probably hard to do when you're a ghost. You know, because when you're a ghost, you're kind of very hard to, you know, wear things and do surgeries and all that because of the whole being a ghost thing. It's nearly defeated. A swarm of vicious broad-winged bats hurtles forth from your weapon and envelops your foe. Hello, bats! Thank you for attacking my enemy! Okay, and then I give... And then, after that's done, I toss them in a... I toss them... I don't know what sort of bats these are, so I don't know what they're like. But I'm going to go with... Kendall Mint Cake. Because everyone likes Kendall Mint Cake. Phillips your foe, nearly done, and slain. 24 XP. A blood-curdling shriek rises out of the gaping mouth of the ghost of the headless rogue. The hideous spirit shimmers brightly for a few moments and then swiftly fades, leaving you alone in the dark. Suddenly, a ghastly howl out of the darkness ahead shatters the silence and sends your heart racing. Obviously, I'm going to remain where I am. The second ghastly howl erupts from the darkness, and you watch in horror as a terrifying apparition emerges from the shadows ahead. The fiendish spirit, its cruel gaze transfixed on you, hovers only inches above the uneven floor of the cave. The glowing apparition floating only a few yards in front of you is truly a nightmarish sight. Short, cropped, white, dark hair covers the ghostly woman's thin, drawn face. A wide gash crosses her neck, and one of her eyes is missing. Your heart suddenly skips a beat as you recognise the woman's decaying face. It's the face of the necromancer, the sorceress you defeated on Palemore Island. Oh, hello again. How you been doing? Oh, you've been dead the whole time? Oh, yeah, I should have remembered that. What with me having just killed you. So, Yeah, I mean, you're probably not that interested in talking. Again, we find ourselves at odds, she says, her voice low and menacing. You do not know the power of the staff you seek to complete. Taustaloff will be your end, as it is for all the ambitious fools who seek to wield its might. I don't want to wield the might. I just want to upgrade it as much as possible and then store it in my grand residence. You know, where... Well, just because. Because I'm just curious of what would happen along the way. And also, presumably, I keep it away from everyone else so no one else can get it. And I upgrade it to the max because it's there. And also, maybe to gather or to defeat any evil things I have to defeat along the way. Or something like that. I don't know. I'm mainly doing it because it's there.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Before he can even attempt to speak to the spirit of the necromancer, a ghost surges forward, hissing viciously as she prepares to engage you. So I can flee immediately, or hold my ground and face the enemy. Obviously I'm going to face her. The gruesome spirit rapidly closes in on you, seeking to bring a speedy demise to the bold soul who has invaded his desolate lair. And you know, killed her before, so she has double reasons to be angry. But a necromancer, and of course, as a necromancer, killing people just means he got more stuff to work with. So that's three reasons. The necromancer's spirit reaches out to touch you. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo. A swarm of vicious broad-winged bats hurls from your weapon and envelops your foe. Thank you, bats. Yeah, okay. Same attack special again for 7 and then 8. Yeah. What it seems the special isn't super damaging or super common. So I thought maybe the special becomes more common when you upgrade it more. That's definitely something I would consider doing if I was old Matthew Yarrows. Because then you'd be more incentivized to upgrade it to max and use it, even if it does net result in your MR going down because you're shieldless. Yeah, because I don't, I mean, I've looked at the adventure profiles. No one's particularly equipping this. No one's making this part of their build anymore. Probably because I think it's because the power creep has just rendered it redundant. I mean, when it first came out in the old days of 12,000, section 12,000, and when the shimmering silver weapon was the best thing, the glittering ice shield was weaker, and it's quite possible that you wouldn't have. There were people who didn't have 100 in all their weaponry skills, who weren't, you know, seriously interested in maximizing their stats. I mean, I think in that situation, under a narrow range of circumstances, it would be the best stats. But now the glittering ice shield is so much more powerful, and for a third reason that we will reveal as we get to the end of this, I think it's a very, very narrow series of circumstances that you pretty much have to go out of your way to get, wherein this staff would give you the highest MR. But a bit of, if you're going for a necromancer sort of build design, this would be probably the coolest weapon for your character to use. I mean, it's sort of a pity that no one can, you know, see your character. But, I mean, you can draw it yourself, I guess. Your character with your staff of bats, and it fights as it's surrounded by a tornado of bats. Bats that just, you know, just do cool things. Keep going. Another swarm of bats for 10 damage. It's a pretty common special. But mystically, I don't think people really have done the work to calculate how often the specials strike. So that's something to consider for wiki people. Just use a weapon for 1,000 rounds. You'll probably have to be against the dummies in tallies or something. Or going through a replayable, and it's 1,000 rounds to see how often the specials strike. Anyway, it's just slain. 42 XP. The apparition of the necromancer shudders and becomes distorted as a ghost slowly begins to fade from view. The lone eye of the undead sorceress fixes itself on you in a hateful stare as she melts into the surrounding gloom, leaving you alone in the dark. Okay, hopefully you can now go on to the afterlife with your ghost defeated. Is that how it works? I'm going to assume that's how it works. I mean, we haven't been to the afterlife ourselves. We haven't gone to the halls of the Old Father and had all the theological questions exactly answered. Answers. So you can say, oh yeah. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, there are 12 places you can go when you die. There's also set various forms of reincarnation. We're referring, of course, to full afterlives where barring some extraordinary heroic events, only the dead can get there. Anyway, there's 12 types. You're sorted by both morality, and your favourite breeds of dog. Yeah, for reasons. Leaving you alone in the dark. Suddenly, a ghostly howl erupts out of the darkness and shatters the silence and sends your heart racing. Remain where I am. A second ghastly howl erupts out of the darkness, and you watch in horror as a terrifying apparition emerges from the shadows ahead. The fiendish spirit, its cruel gaze transfixed on you, hovers only inches above the uneven floor of the cave. The nightmarish apparition floating only a few yards in front of you is a horrid, fear-inspiring sight. A cloven helm caps the ghostly man's misshapen and hideously disfigured heads. The ends of several wiggling yellow worms extend out of the raw flesh as the centre of a nasty wound, the white side of his face just above his shattered jaw. Okay, I'm guessing this guy was some sort of lich. Because, I mean, usually the form your ghost takes is the form you had when you died. And when your body walks, that really doesn't affect your ghost because it's become a separate thing. So this kind of implied he was decaying and zombie-ish before his soul was torn from his body. So I'm thinking lich. Especially since this is a cave of four spirits, which seems to be just stuffed with necromancer ghosts. Just stuffed with them. And presumably those are the skulls of necromancers. Or maybe the skulls of the people they killed on their route to power. Or maybe they're necromancers. Maybe they just got some skeletons to just just walk up and then take their skulls off, add it to the pile, and then dissolve. I mean, presumably that could happen, but usually, the assumption is if you see a mound of human skulls, something really, really nasty happened to make it happen. The chain armour that covers his limbs and torso hangs in tatters, obviously a result of the brutal fight that ended the life, and the post-life, I guess, of this warrior. "You should not tread here," he says, as the brilliant flash of light illuminates the cavern behind him, revealing a mountain of human skulls. "You will not find me to be a foe easily bested. But you have been bested at least once. The medallion you seek will never leave this cave. It is our duty to keep it wicked under guard. Tauchloff will never again enslave another soul." Wait, so a bit, I think, are you forced by the staff to be here? Have all the ghosts of people who have been enslaved by Tausalof formed a support group or something, and just, you know, they have a rota, because apparently there's more than four spirits that could we go here, but only four at the same time, because otherwise they'd have to rename the cave. You don't want to do that. I mean, God, it's such a bloody pain to rename a cave. You gotta get a note from the king, and then you gotta contact every single map maker and frickin' check. It's a pain. So just have four spirits. Yeah, okay, so they have a wota. They just, the rest of the time they're just hanging out, haunting around, you know, playing ghost cards, haunting people who are, you know, a bit of a dick. With that, the chain-clad, helmed ghost floats towards you, drawing a notched broadsword from its thick leather belt that encircles its waist. Oh yes, and as a ghost, you just walk through the walls and go into the forbidden sections of libraries. Woohoo! Not sports order from the thick leather belt that encircles its waist. I can flee immediately, hold my ground and face the enemy. I'm going to hold my ground and face the enemy, of course. The gruesome spirit rapidly closes on in you, seeking to bring a speedy demise to the bold soul that has invaded its desolate lair.
This is the ghost of the humbled warrior. Begin combat. The warrior spirit slashes you with its notched broadsword. I keep swinging the staff. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Bat attack. Keep swinging, 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 swinging the staff. Swinging, 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 swinging the staff. A large swarm of vicious broad-winged bats emerge, hurtles forth from your weapon and envelops your foe. 26 damage. Oh, that's a pretty impressive special. It's very rare, though. Still. And just a regular swarm now for 6 damage. And slain. Oh. A swarm of vicious broad-winged bats hurtles forth from your weapon and envelops your foe. You have slain your foe. 74 experience. The ghost of the chain-clad warrior whipples and then suddenly vanishes, leaving you alone in the dark. Suddenly, a ghastly howl out of the darkness ahead shatters you in silence and sends you apart wasting. What if I do retreat? You turn and flee from the cave as a second ghastly howl erupts from the shadows behind you. As you dash out of the cave into the light of the day, the horrid noises from within the cave immediately cease. That's because these old ghosts, they're guarding the treasure. They're not just, you know, causing problems. Enter the cave. Remain where I am. A second ghastly howl erupts from the darkness, and you watch in horror as a terrifying apparition emerges from the shadows ahead. In the fiendish spirit, its cruel gaze transfixed on you, hovers only inches above the uneven floor of the cave. The foul apparition, floating only a few yards in front of you, is that of a bent, elderly man. The shining black eyes sunk into the layers of wrinkled skin that crease his face, narrow as he carefully studies you. Long black claws extend from the tips of his horribly gnarled fingers. The robed spirit curls his lips into a hideous grin. "Is Lord Delgroff even a man?" he asks, noting your fixation on the claws that tip his fingers. "I was... like you, human in all ways once upon a time. Do you now see why we're fated to guard this lair? To keep its treasure safe for all time? You do not know the whole of Telsloth, the dark, lonely suffering to which its promises lead. I shall, as I pity you, I shall give you a chance to rethink your foolish desires. Leave here. Do not return. You will be spared." Alright, I guess I will. Who is Lord Delgroff? Has a lore book link. Lord Delgroff, one of the most renowned and respected mages in all of the Northward lands. The tale of the late latter days of Lord Delgroff of Telsa is one of tragedy. Accused by members of the Grey Circle of engaging in the art of necromancy and using it with ill intent, the shamed mage fled from his prosecutors and is said to have hid in the mountains of Western Tysa. It is believed that it was in these mountains that Delgroff, once the overlord of Twythic, came into possession of a powerful weapon with which he plotted with revenge against those who cast him out of his position and power. Such revenge never came to fruition, and it is widely believed the evil nature of the item he came to possess slowly took control of his mind. Many are the tales of the mad, wandering bearded man in the foothills beneath Tyson's lofty western peaks. For by any estimation, Dogroth has likely been dead for nearly 400 years, but, you know, necromancer. So, I mean, when you're dealing with a necromancer, it's a little thing like being dead. That's not going to stop him, is it now? Alright, I guess I'll leave. You back slowly out of the cave, never once taking your eyes off the fiendish ghost of Lord Dogroth. The sinister phantasm nods as you reach the mouth of the cave and floats back into the shadows and disappears. You quickly exit the cave. Now, probably the smart thing to do is just leave that be. Leave that be. Take the tassel off, buried in a very deep hole, far underground, and never think of it again. But I want to know. I want to know what happens if I finish this quest. So I'm pretty much stuck entering the cave. Remain where you are. He says the same thing again. I'm honestly, he's probably had hundreds of necromancers and various other people who have got hold of that staff one point or another, coming up here seeking the gems. He's had to bash them because anyhow. No, I'm going to attack the spirit, even though I'm pretty sure this is actually a very, very bad idea. Attack the spirit. The gruesome spirit rapidly closes on you, seeking to bring a speedy demise to the bold soul that has invaded its desolate lair. The ghost of Lord Dogroth. I swing the staff. He reaches out for me. Swing the staff. He's got a lot of health, as you'd expect. Oh, another swarm of bats. Keep going. Round 30. Like most foes I fight, he's a 3+, as you'd expect. Because Sir Crokington is so overpowered that even with a very suboptimal weapon, she's still crazy overpowered. Swing the staff. Slain. 139 experience. The ghost of Lord Dogroth floats back beyond the range of your attack, and his apparition ripples violently. Then take it, he growls, his voice dropping to nearly a whisper as he begins to fade from view. Take it, and the full horror of the curse you too shall bear as its possessor. I'm guessing that every one of these either got the staff itself, had the staff itself, with varying numbers of gems. I wonder, would gems by themselves be enough to curse you? Probably. Because it's just one of those items. With that, the hideous apparition disappears, leaving you alone in the dark. Now, this was actually a very, very bad idea. But I'm going through it anyway. Because fortunately, Sir Crokington isn't me. So it really doesn't matter much if Sir Crokington does terrible things, because they're not real. Or at least I hope not. After spending a few minutes recovering from the brutal combat, and making certain you are last alone in the cave, you proceed with the thorough search of the lair of the four vanquished spirits. It's in the far corner of the wide cavern you find, beneath a twisted pile of human bones, an ornate iron chest, After discovering that it's not locked, I mean, I guess that's kind of redundant, because locking it as well, because anyone who could get past all that stuff wouldn't be stopped by a simple lock. Or even a not-so-simple lock. Ornate iron chest. After discovering it's not locked, you carefully lift its corroded lid. Immediately your eyes fall upon an intricately engraved wooden medallion resting at the bottom of the chest. A square black gem has been set into the centre of the ancient charm. You quickly reach in and retrieve the object of your quest. The moment you take hold of the wooden medallion, its soft, decayed wood begins crumbling in your hands. In a matter of only a few seconds, only the small, black, square black gem remains. The crude likeness of a bat has been etched onto the surface of the gem. Without delay, you fit the square black gem into the impression of the tip of the talus aloft. A low hum fills the air as the staff vibrates slightly in your hands before once again becoming still. 128 experience to general. Tausalof now bears both of the black gems it has for so long been missing. Be sure to examine the staff to see how the addition of the final gem might have changed it. With your mission complete, the black gem that for so long lay protected in the cave of four spirits, now fitted onto the tip of the Tausalof, you make your way out of the lair of the vanquished spirits. What have I entered the cave? Nope, nothing here. Climbing down from the cave takes over an hour. It seems to be far more difficult than your ascent. When at last you reach the base of the rocky slope, you breathe a sigh of relief and pause to rest your weary limbs. Alright, let's go show this to the guildmaster. The city of Twythick. Explore the city. Blade Square. Buildings. Windows burning with the green door. Eventual collective. Visit the guildmaster. Converse with the guildmaster. Talk about the Tausalof, which is fortunately on a drop-down menu. The guildmaster seems delighted when you inform him of your success at the Cave of Four Spirits, and he promptly steps forward and lays his hand on your shoulder. A strange but pleasant sensation passes through you as the guildmaster's hand presses firmly into your shoulder. 1024 experience to general. Guess that's pretty nice. It appears the legend of the cave will now have to be rewritten, he says. I shall happily undertake that exercise. Well done, Sir Croakington. You are truly a worthy member of the collective. The guildmaster asks if he might examine the staff, and you hand him the weapon. He studies it for a few moments and then returns it to you. With the two gems you have affixed to it, it is indeed a potent weapon. He says, looking over the staff. I would advise you never let it out of your sight. Oh, I'm going to totally let it out of my sight. Not even for a moment. You thank the guildmaster for having directed you to the cave, and thus the gem. And he tells you the sentiment is appreciated, but not necessary. I'm honoured to have you as a member of the collective, he says. Think no more of it. You take your leave of him. You bid him farewell and take your leave of the guildmaster. Anything else to say about that? Tausal off. Yep. Nope, then that's all he's got to say. Now, apparently, leave the guild hall. Has anything changed? There's something going on in the Withered Hills. I guess I'll go there and see. But of course I know what it is because I'm just read the wiki about it. And I've done it before. Well, a few times I've done it before. Not as many times as I've done other things, because it takes quite a because you have to spend adventure tokens to access this quest. And, well, the amount of adventure tokens is generous, but finite. Withered Hills. Cave of Four Spirits. Climb it again. Stand at the mouth of the cave. Enter the cave. You step into the mave. cave and make a quick search of its dark interior. As the pool of radiance cast by your reliable light source spills over the centre of the broad, damp chamber of stone, it splashes across the coin-sized, black, egg-shaped object resting on the uneven floor. Much to surprise, a close examination of the item reveals that it is indeed an egg. Thin, slightly raised, wedge ridges crisscross the smooth surface of the black edge. Alright, I can pick up the egg. You reach down to pick up the black egg, but your fingers encroach upon the curious object. They are swiftly repelled by a powerful unseen force. Watch the egg. You watch the egg for several minutes. More than once, you believe you observe the small, black, red-ridged object twitching ever so slightly. Attempt to pick up the egg. No, I can't. Leave the cave. Enter the cave. Particular item may be used here. It's the tassel off again. Use it. You hold the tassel off towards the egg, and immediately the red ridges quit crossing its surface. Emits a brilliant crimson glow. The glow fades rapidly. A deep sense of dread comes over you in the wake of your action with the staff. With a muddle of disjointed and unpleasant thoughts clouding your mind, you turn and make your way out of the cave. Let's just get out of here before that egg hatches into something horrible. Alright, and save. Oh yeah, and let's go look at the stats of the item. I'm going to unequip it, and then re-equip it so it recalculates its stats. Okay, the melee rating is now 26, which in normal circumstances would make that the most powerful weapon in the game, but the Spruce Smasher was found a bit back, so now it isn't. But apparently there's more to do with that staff to make it even more powerful, but that will be in another episode. So over in the next episode, we'll just keep going back to that cave and just seeing what comes of it. But that'll be in a while, because I happen to remember this is one of those multiple day things. But anyway, but before that, I will be starting Proving Ground 6. And anyhow, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC Health/whatsyourwhy.